America Weekend.
Yeah, it's really interesting when Carl says goodbye to a guest, and I think that she's going to stay for the next particular segment.
And she is here.
I just refuse to leave.
Though. Oh, they're wonderful.
The chain on the chair to the desk was a complete giveaway.
I understand that. Sue DeCicco.
Welcome back.
Thanks for staying with us.
I missed you guys.
Yeah, you're so much fun to have with us. And you know, we're going to devote this particular hour with conversations, certainly with you. And I want to go back to your very illustrious career, where you were a Muppeteer with Jim Henson. How did that happen?
Well, I was just an extra.
What does that mean?
Well, it was I was in the original Muppet movie. I was in the pit at the end where they're all singing Rainbow Connection. So
can you sing it?
I luckily for the entire world, I was not required to sing. I was a lip sync job.
For the sake of our audience, there'll be no singing here.
Yeah, thank God. But Jim came out with, it was a fascinating experience. He was recruiting. He needed, 50 or so extras for the big scene at the end where all the Muppets are singing. So he recruited out of CalArts, which is where I was at school at the time. And so we all took off and worked on the movie, which was just an incredible experience.
What fun.
And Jim came out with his row of Kermits. He had a half dozen Kermits or so, each designed for different facial movements depending on the scene, and he would try them each on and decide which he was going to use for each scene. And he gave us all a brief description on how to be a Muppeteer and taught us the fine points of Muppeteering, and then put us in a pit. So we stood, the glamorous world of Hollywood, we stood in a pit with our arms up in the air with Muppets, one on each hand for, 12 hours a day.
Ooh.
And I was, it's the 5'6 is the minimum height. I'm 5'5". So I was wearing platform shoes and and a black skull hat, a cap, because I'm blonde. So my hair didn't show. And, I was at everybody's armpit level. And, by hour 6, 7, 8, 9, I earned every penny.
It gets a little gamey in there, doesn't it?
I earned every penny. But it's, it's a wonderful memory. And I've since drawn a lot of books for Henson and just love them to death.
Speaking of books, let's talk about your children's books. Is there a series, or do you do this each individually depending on what you think is needed for children today to understand our society?
Well, for the most part, I'm sort of on call, and I illustrate for Disney or Henson or Nickelodeon or whoever asks me. I am working on my own series of books, introducing children to the world of fine art, and I'm just now starting a new one about the art of Asia, which I'm really excited about. I'm hoping it's going to be out in 2016. So that's a particular passion of mine, is introducing children to art. I don't necessarily think that every child should become an artist, but I think that every child should be exposed to the wonders of art. Without, so much of the art world is designed to alienate people, I feel. So I'm looking to introduce the wonders of art to children at an early age so that they feel it is for them and that they're part of it.
One of your books is about classical art,
mm-hmm.
Where you take some of the great masters and you set it up for the children to understand what the artist is trying to say.
In a very simple and understandable way, and the book I'm now working on for 2016 is very similar, but it focuses on the world of Asia. And to me, the aesthetic of Asia is just so fabulous. Asian art. The art of Asia is the preferred phrase there because.
Can you give me an example of who would be famous in the art of Asia?
Well, it's
for what we might recognize today.
A lot of China, a lot of I'm focusing on
porcelains, things like that,
and jade and screens, a lot of silk, it's a pretty wide swath.
Well, I mean, I've seen the one with the classics, with Van Gogh and Rembrandt and so many others. And it even for me as an adult, I mean, it's a very nice presentation to expose children to what art really is and why sophisticated adults seem to love it and understand it.
Well, I've was surprised to find a lot of adults buying the book for their adult children. It is a love poem also. So I thought my market was the six-year-old, but it turned out that, that it landed in a lot of 25-year-old stockings at Christmas.
And 66-year-olds. Absolutely. Or whatever.
Yes. The appreciation of, they used to call it music and arts appreciation in school many years ago. Yeah. And all those programs have been unfortunately wiped
out. And you know, I do get the feedback from people that, you know, we don't all need to be artists, and I certainly agree with that, but we all need an appreciation of the
arts.
Without
question.
Because it makes our lives so much richer. And
but don't you think art permeates or through osmosis comes into basically every single field that's out there?
Absolutely. And art is all around us, you know, the creative process. And you know, science and art are really intermingled, and the most the best scientists are very creative people. So exposure to the arts is important for people in any field.
They, you know, that they at Harvard, they've and NYU is another school that picked this up. They encourage in the not the core master curriculum, but in their electives, to take art now. To encourage them to take art programs, art history, particularly art history. At least you understand the history of the art, okay? And, of course, as you understand the history of the art, you have an appreciation for the history that created that particular period, Renaissance, Baroque, it doesn't matter what it may be.
Well, and
that's exciting.
Even from a practical standpoint, we're all so inept with our hands now. Nobody can fix anything. Nobody has the confidence to do anything with their hands. And part of that can be stemmed by teaching kids to draw and giving them confidence to use their own digits and fix things and build things.
What about those who do these the typing on the, with just their thumbs on the phone devices and
oh good Lord,
smartphones and things of that nature.
Well, I was recently I shouldn't mention the publisher, but I was at a publisher yesterday talking about my titles coming up, and they said we've discontinued all activities and coloring books. Huh. They don't make anything that requires painting, cutting, coloring, none of that, because it's all gone digital. The kids have iPads, and I just think it's a travesty. We're all
That gets back to our earlier conversation reference to books and the ability to be able to hold a book as opposed to a tablet, okay? Because you can feel, you can smell. This is a organic instrument because it's paper in front of you and you're holding it. And our children need to feel that. It's extremely important that they feel that, because if they don't feel it, the electronic instruments don't give them the feeling, ergo the appreciation.
Well, and they've lost their connection to nature. They don't realize they are nature.
Yes.
And that's
biological form,
right,
as we may be.
That's a huge problem.
Well, that's certainly another one of your interests was children and Nature Network.
Absolutely.
We had Richard Louvon as a guest here
about
two or three weeks ago.
Yes.
Or several months ago. I can't remember when it was exactly. But, I mean, he was talking about, you know, this was the 10th anniversary of his book.
No Child Left in the...
Last Child in the Woods.
There you go.
Yeah. And boy, he was very, very good.
We're losing, I'm hoping for our next generation and the generations thereafter, I'm hoping that what you are trying to do, Sue, becomes part of a sense of the cultural norm. That is identifying art, identifying the appreciation of the humanistic aspects of it all, because we are all human, and yet there is appreciation for the things around us that are not electronically generated, you see. And I'm hoping we get that, because when we get that, hopefully back again, that came from my generation of the 60s and 70s, the humanistic art appreciation form, it works, and it worked. Ergo, we've created you. And there you are.
In 30 seconds or less, could you give any kind of advice for parents whose children seem to have a proclivity toward art?
Well, you know, I do get asked a lot by parents whose children want to be artists. And, you know, my stock answer is learn to grow corn. you know, it's I think that people need to be more attached to the world and that the art will come. And the art is a result of your experience in the real world and not in the digital world. As much as I love technology, and Roland and I have talked about this often, you know, it is that connection to space and time. And for those more serious about it who are in high school and want to pursue a career in the arts, I suggest they go to CTN Expo, which is this huge event in Burbank, and that'll get them going.
Sudasico, right. Getting us going. Roland, wonderful. We have to have
yes,
you
indeed.
Back, and we will.
Yes, indeed. Thank Carl you, sir.
Carl Sabatino
Thanks,
with
gentlemen.
Roland Smith. This is Smith Sabatino. Please stay with us. We're back.
America Weekend.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-679-MY-TV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 888-679-MY-TV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $24.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 888-679-MY-TV. That's 888-679-MY-TV.
Cancel the cable. Cut costs and get more.
Call now. 888-679-MY-TV. That's 888-679-MY-TV.